Plumbers become super plumbers, installing a super quick water dispenser. Superquick.com.au.
Yeah, welcome to the catch up. Great can of worms today. Very unexpected result as well, seeing as though it was a little bit sexy.
I didn't want it to go to air.
It was so funny though, because you were so full on about it off air, and then you got a little shaky.
Of course, I get shaky.
And then you kind of delivered. And then when people started to support you, you got all bombastic.
Very confident.
Again.
I had nothing I like more than people supporting my ridiculous theories.
No more attractive a leader than one that has a little bit of self-doubt.
Yes, that's true, isn't it?
You're in good hands.
Is that like Steve Smith?
Oh, Steve Smith. Well, we actually found out today what happens in a year's time. We got in the Cricket Australia time machine, and that was very, very revealing.
I also got some parents. I have never done this. And if today is that is all I learn, then it is a good day. And that is how to discipline my children by telling them I'm disappointed in them.
Yeah, don't yell at them anymore.
Don't yell
at
them. Just shake your head. Do you know what? Sit down, put your elbows on your knees and just go, oh, I'm stunned.
Try this one.
I'm disappointed.
I thought you were better than that, you bloke. I thought you were better than that.
Not angry.
No, not angry.
Not angry.
That makes me feel so awful. I don't know if I can do that. But anyway, we have lots of people who have, and it's worked.
I don't know where you blokes have come from. Say that to your boys.
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh.
You're not people I thought I knew.
I don't think I'm capable of doing
that. I've lost a lot of faith
that.
In you guys. Mm. Okay. I just hope we can rebuild this relationship.
That's how you parent. Enjoy the catch-up.
Hey, let's go through it. The sandpaper gate and the ball tampering by the Australian cricket team. It's now into day three of all their investigations and everything. Mm-hmm. Where's it at if you've only just getting up and at them this morning and having a listen? James Sutherland, the CEO of Australian cricket, he was a bit slow out of the gates. He only just got over there yesterday. And he's in Johannesburg, whereas the investigators, Ian Roy and Pat Howard, who used to play footy with me, they have been in Cape Town interviewing Dave Warner and everyone else involved and Steve Smith. So they've got a preliminary report ready.
They're the integrity unit.
Yep. Well, one of them is Ian Roy. And then they went up to Cape Town with all the team, from Cape Town to Johannesburg. So James Sutherland arrived in Johannesburg and he announced at about 3:30 this morning some preliminary reports on what's going to happen. They haven't sanctioned them yet, but he had this to say.
The players involved have officially been reported for breaching Cricket Australia's code of conduct under Article 2.3.5. Conduct at any time that is contrary to the spirit of the game, unbecoming of a representative, harmful to the interests of the game, or brings the game into disrepute.
Right, so a guy spewing abuse at an opposition batsman in a stairwell in a dressing room wasn't any of that.
No, that's in the spirit of the game.
Yeah, that's in the spirit of the game, right. So that Cricket Australia haven't acted until they've been confronted with the, like, well, there it is. There's the evidence.
That's what it's taken. Well, listen to this little bit, because he doesn't say the rest of the team didn't know, like, but he does say, listen to the little prior knowledge. Like, they reckon there's only two involved, Warner and Smith, and Bancroft was jammed in there a little bit later.
The key finding is that prior knowledge of the ball tampering incident was limited to three players, Captain Steve Smith, Vice-Captain David Warner and Cameron Bancroft.
Prior knowledge. That means they're the ones who had their little meeting.
They didn't say, and this has been the speculation that's been over the last couple of days, because the one person who has said nothing is Coach Darren Lehman.
Mm.
And they're now saying that he didn't know, or they're not even saying that. They're just saying that he's keeping his job and at the moment he's going to continue on as the coach of the Australian cricket team.
Seems all fine as per his contract, they're saying.
I would have thought that that vision of him speaking on the walkie-talkie to Peter Hanscom going out to Bancroft and Bancroft then secreting the tape in his pants is a smoking gun.
Mm-hmm. But I know, it looks sus, but it may have just been you something.
Well, you're the only one of us, and in fact, you're probably the only one on Brisbane radio at the moment who has actually been inside an international Australian team's locker room.
Well, I've been to Newlands. I've been to that ground. I know the dressing room. And I saw Jimmy Marr yesterday, and this is when I thought, yeah, this is right. Because people think, what do you think happens at lunch? Like,
I don't know. What does happen at lunch?
Well, they don't have a big table, and the South Africans, can you know, it doesn't say to AB de Villiers, can you give me some of the salad? That, you know, they don't just sit around having a chat for 40 minutes.
Well, what do they do?
Well, they have a quick bite to eat and then they go back to their dressing room. There is actually a lunchroom where they'll have grab. Okay. It'll be a big buffet, have whatever you need. Some of them will only have drinks because remember, we're fielding and bowling, okay, yep. Where the South Africans were batting. So they do their thing, we do our thing.
So they're all in the same room at that point?
I'm not sure where. I've never been into the dining room at Newlands at Cape Town, but well, generally you have your food and then you'll head back to the dressing room because there's massages. See, dressing room's a really big thing when there's lots of little nooks and crannies. So some guys will be having a massage, especially the bowlers, because they need to loosen themselves up because in about 35 minutes' time they're back out there. And then you'll have a couple of the keeper might be outside, and that's where Darren Lehman, he may not have even been in the dressing room. He might have been outside having a few throwdowns. He actually does. You've seen him on the TV. He actually does throws.
So it is feasible to say that a conversation could have happened between three players and the rest of the team
didn't know
and the coach didn't know.
And then just at 2 minutes before they run back onto the field to start bowling, they get in line and Steve Smith leads them out. He would have turned around, or Davey Warner would have done, and said, righto, boys, we've got a bit of a plan. And out they go, and they've probably explained it out there. That's prior knowledge.
You know, if I was one of your mates on the Integrity Commission or investigation,
would
my question
that?
To Boof is, what did you say on the walkie-talkie to Peter Hanscom, and why did he go out to speak to Bancroft? Now, just going back to the buffet, that's where my mind stopped on this story. I'm just kidding.
I got a bit of everything.
Not many people know this. Our next guest, he used to be Chaka Khan's hairdresser in the 70s.
Oh, my
Lord. Is that where he came from?
That's how she kept it so buoyant. He's now our go-to for all things entertainment.
He's our man with all the Hollywood guys. It's Bobby Treatman.
Hello, Bobby.
Hello, Robbo. Hello, man. And hello to you, Martin. Brendo, where do you dig those little facts up from? I thought I'd buried that one. Ooh, Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan. Ooh. I tell you what, I'm coming down to Brisbane soon too, so I'm going to visit you all. I'll be staying right next to the Tenerife Ferry Terminal.
Yeah, far for the Logies, probably.
Oh, dear. Ooh. Okay, tell me about Sean Penn, because he's done late night telly.
He appeared last night on Late Night with Colbert. He was chain smoking all the way through. And who does he think he is? Rusty Crowe.
Hey, give us that ear. Don't make any jokes about me, Bobby.
Oh, Rusty, give it back. Rusty's been staying at my place. Oh, Rusty, get your moo-moo on. Walking around in the nude. Anyway, so Shorty Penn, he said he doesn't play well with others, and he decided to write a novel called Bob Honey, Who Just Do Stuff. Oh, Shorty, you character. But anyway, he was on late night last night. He'd been on a late night flight. He had some Ambien, so he was under the influence of painkillers. I tell you what, Rusty, you're looking a bit shabby. Old Shorty Penn, bit shabby.
Okay. Hey, listen, can I just ask the Prince Harry, Meghan Markle, the wedding, there's been a new reveal on the invites.
Yes, there has. Ooh, Marlo, you're on top of it, are you? Finger on the pulse. You had your finger on the pulse of the dentist by the sound of it.
Yeah, okay, you've been listening.
Anyway, the royal invite says Ms. Markle. That's right, Meghan Markle, because she's a divorcee. She's been around the block once or twice, old Meghan. And so she's a divorcee. They put Ms. Markle, and it reminds me of Miss Marple. Do you remember the Agatha Christie hero?
Yes.
Miss Marple. Yes. She was an elderly spinster and an amateur consulting detective, maybe. Ms. Markle can solve the mystery of who killed Princess Di. Ooh.
Also,
I know the answer to that one, the Queen.
Or maybe the really big one, Bobby, about who is Prince Harry's dad. That'd be a good one to miss.
That one too. Major Hewitt. Like a rat up a drain pipe.
Okay.
That's the sound a rat makes in a drain pipe.
Yeah. Bobby, it's been great, mate. As always, you've kept us up to date with Hollywood.
Thank you very much. I just want to say to Peter Stefanovic, don't die on the inside.
Okay. Okay. Here we go, folks. Marta, you made a massive statement before, and I'm gonna adjudicate here. Okay,
in terms of what?
I'm the UN. I'm wearing my blue beanie. I'm in a Land Rover that's painted white with UN written on the side because I've got to come between you two. It's a battle of the sexes here. Your statement, Marta,
is outrageous.
Is with Easter coming, women.
You can't go camping with women at Easter, especially this Easter. I've just checked the weather, and there's going to be showers. Well, I'll explain. How do you want to run this?
Okay, well, give us time. I've got lists.
Have you got Liz?
Yeah.
Are you prepared?
Oh, you bet I'm prepared. Ever since you said this early this morning, been writing point form as to why we need to.
Oh,
so
I've got a list.
How much time am I giving you each? Right, a minute and a half?
A minute.
No, just a minute.
A minute?
A minute, yeah.
All right.
All right. My statement was this morning. Okay. I checked the weather, and quite simply, there's a southeasterly, a really big southeasterly. Let's figure that everyone's going camping, and I've been there so many times. My experience is mainly Moreton Island, okay? There's going to be an enormous southeasterly coming through Thursday afternoon. There's going to be rain. The number of times I've watched campsites get set up, a 70% rain on Thursday, for 40% rain on Friday, and all through the weekend. What happens by the Friday? The bloke has been to BCF 12 times over the last 3 weeks. He's bought everything. He's bought new chairs for his missus. He's bought a new esky. He's bought all his fishing gear. Yeah. He's bought a new gas bottle. Yeah. He's got a new Barbie. He's got a new tent because he was too short. He's done everything. He is so proud. That first little shower will occur on Thursday, and the women in his family, might be his daughter, might be his wife, will go, oh, I can't stand this. It's cold. I'm freezing. And then it'll rain one more time on Friday, and that whole family will be made to pack up. But at the last minute, the dad will go, listen, I'll just drive you to the ferry that'll take you back to Brisbane, and the wife and daughter will go, and the blokes will drop them down to the barge. I've watched this continually, and they will go back and live happily ever after all Easter. Okay. Women do not like camping at Easter.
All right, so Greg Martin's contention is that women don't like camping at Easter.
No, hang on. You've changed that, because what I have written was, well, you said women can't go camping at Easter. Women are not welcome. Women shouldn't, is where you were going.
Don't like camping at Easter.
Okay,
I didn't say they can't go. I said they don't like.
Well, you argue it
on your merits, Robin.
Okay, well, women should be on camping trips because... Hey, Dahl, where's the extra tent poles? Hey, Dahl, did you grab the flashlight? Hey, Dahl, I can't find my camping hat. You know, the one that lives in the camping box? You need us, Greg Martin. Easter is a family holiday, the one you agreed to between the last hurrah of Australia Day and the State of Origin coming up in a couple of weeks. This is a family holiday, which means me and the kids. Okay, because a tray of sausages and a slab of beer won't even feed you after a few days. Because when the surf's up or the fish are biting or your mate finds a new four-wheel drive trail to discover, you can't leave a child under 12 alone with an open fire and an open surf beach. Yeah, you're not saying anything. Come on, be honest. Being together is actually more fun. We can do more things together. And finally, come on, think about it. When you're relaxed after a few drinks and the kids are exhausted and they're asleep and, yes, there is some canvas between us, but just maybe you'll get a tap on the shoulder saying, you awake, Dahl? We're adventurous.
Oh, I've got my mate there, though.
So you want a long, lonely night by yourself?
No, I don't want any complaining about this weather.
I tell you what, Robin, you make a very compelling argument, especially the last bit.
Don't go together. I'll tell you right now.
Marlo's happy to endure the rain with a mate.
That's right. You've had your time. I'm just saying that rain does not agree with females camping. I've seen so many of them back out.
Can of worms.
Spoil every plan.
It sounds like you're saying you can't go camping with women, so that is going to be the statement. You can't go camping
at Easter,
women.
I said.
At
Easter.
Because
Christmas is fine. Because
are you going to do State of Origin when you haven't given us any time and the last thing we remember you with your mates is Australia Day?
So it does need a weather.
Do you want to go camping in winter? No women goes camping in winter after Easter.
It needs a weather caveat, Brenda.
You can't go camping with women at Easter because we're putting all these caveats on it.
The Big Breakfast's Can of Worms.
We've ripped the top off a new one, and that is Amato saying you can't go camping with women at Easter. Hold on, Gregory.
This was meant just between us. I just wanted to make a point, and then you brought it up. Who wanted this to go to air?
Tell you what, the Human Rights Commissioner is on the line. There's a lot of angry feminists sharpening knives.
I've just seen it, mate. When it's wet, they back out. You know, you do all the prep and I've been, you know, you might have been, yeah, anyway.
Robin, you are saying that, of course, we want women along at Easter time.
Yeah, I know.
Wet, dry or otherwise. Scotty from the Gold Coast, what do you reckon? Can you go camping with women at Easter?
Mate, Marto's hit the nail on the head, mate. I used to work on Tangalooma there on Moreton Island, and the amount of money that they used to pull out of families where the mother and the daughter would come up to the resort and hire a room in the winter, you know, on the Easter holidays was phenomenal. I mean, the wind that's coming over that bay would just chill anyone. And, you used to see the husbands and the sons driving out the south gate with a big ear-to-ear grin on their face. All their plans had come to fruition, mate.
They're the ones I used to see as well, Scotty, and that's what I'm basing my whole argument from. Maybe it's not. Thanks for backing me up too, mate. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you really wasn't sure
I wasn't
he was going to get
any support.
Sandra, Vicky Point, what do you reckon? Marto says you can't go camping with women at Easter.
Marto, you're full of crap. Okay, that is the. We're going camping tomorrow. My husband's already left. We're going to Australia for a week.
Yeah.
We know it's going to rain. Yeah. It'll make it more fun. We're not in that category. We're not all like that. We're not all whingers.
No.
We know what we're doing. Sorry, we get it.
I forgot about you, Sandra.
Yes, that's right. You did.
Not everyone's as like you.
No, I'm reminding you now.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry.
Oh,
but I didn't really want to bring
well
this
done,
up.
Sandra,
you know, you say things while the songs are on and then all of a sudden I have to front up with it and I forgot about people like you who are hardy and tough. But, Jesus, you think about it, Sandra. There's a lot who aren't, who pull out at the first sign of a little bit of rain and they want to go home, correct?
Look, there might be.
Yeah, so.
But, there's none in my circle of friends.
Well done, Sandra. And the thing is, at least we're trying. Mm. At least you've got us onto the campsite. At least we are being supportive of the thing that you want us to do.
Women made this country. Yeah. They stood shoulder to shoulder with blokes, Marto.
Hold on. How many were in that first fleet, right?
Okay, stop
How
it.
Many criminals?
Stop it. Andrew
Two.
Of Kalanga, yeah. What would you like to say?
I completely agree. Females can't go camping. Like, not even at Easter time. I went took my missus motorbike riding camping with the boys a couple of weeks ago now. Mm. And I told her, it's going to rain. You're going to sit there and be bored most of the day. She goes, no, it's all right. And sure enough, on the way home, she goes, that rained all the time, and I heard about it for months onwards. She was bored, and it rained, and it was a terrible weekend for her. And I warned her weeks in advance, but she still didn't listen.
No, but she was trying to be there because she wanted to be with a fella, and she wanted to be supportive. And next time, you'll both know.
Yep, but next time I won't take her. It'll be a much better weekend.
Thanks, Andrew.
Results are in on 133353.
Come on, I'm interested.
70% saying you can't go camping with women.
E3's
pulled it out of the fire.
Greg, no.
That's ridiculous.
I'm going to say ever.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say ever.
Don't get cocky. You're feeling okay today, Marto?
I am feeling great, and I have to thank Robin for us. She set me up yesterday for one of the best attitudes. Now, yesterday I knew I was leaving here, and I had a 10:30 appointment at the dentist to pull one wisdom tooth out. When I got there, the wonderful dentist was in form, and she went, I'm on fire. I'm going to take that other one out. And then she took a third. I had three teeth out yesterday.
No, three wisdom teeth in the chair.
Did
I think
you keep
that is
them?
Super
What's
impressive.
The chairman? No, she showed me the first one and I thought about saying, can I have a jar? And then I sort of got sidetracked because I went, another one. And then there was a third one. She just kept going.
That's amazing.
There was a lot of painkiller involved.
A lot of people go under. A lot of people actually have to go into surgery.
Oh, really?
And I was worried about you last night.
She was
night.
Good. All right. So, Moon, you missed some of this, but Robin was pumping me up. She said, you'll be fine, mate. You'll be fine. It'll all be easy. She said, be positive. I've heard such good reports. Within 10 minutes of seeing you, I went round to the other side here at work and I had a story where a bloke almost broke his collarbone because the dentist had his foot on the collarbone and the other one on a desk pulling teeth out. And then I had young Jack. He said a mate of his was black and blue down his sternum because the dentist had his foot on there.
Okay.
The corner,
pulling
the
it
corner.
Out.
The corner of my brother's mouth was torn because they had his mouth jacked open so far to get his tooth out.
Horror
okay,
story.
Wisdom
or to
teeth
put something
stories
in, I don't know.
For men are like childbirth stories for women. Everyone wants to give you the absolute worst. So Marto came through this okay.
I've had a great result. I've been on air this morning at the aid of painkillers and not a problem.
Okay, but I'm sure there are people that haven't. Let's talk dentistry. 1-3-3-5-3.
Will anyone want to talk about this?
Oh, yeah.
Dental horror stories. That's what I want to hear when it all went wrong.
You reckon? I look like a bloke who's just left the unemployment office as a gimpy. I've got no teeth anywhere.
No, excuse me, mate. That's not very funny because I come from a long line of people without teeth and I asked the dentist specifically not to pull all my teeth out, and he pulled all of them out.
You went to a dentist? I would have thought they'd just fall it out.
When I say go to a dentist, my dad dresses as a dentist in the garage with a pair of pliers.
Okay, mate.
Okay.
Let's talk to people who really had problems. Mine was all fine. Three teeth out. It seemed to, they knew what they were doing. Or they were,
welcome to the family, Marto. Yeah. Welcome to the family, mate. Do you want a Winnie Blue or a Horizon?
Horizon 50s, thanks.
Horizon 50s, you can't even stick them in your T-shirt anymore, I'm telling you.
I will add, though, that Marto is having some ripper time with the medication. Yeah, but.
Oh, the medication's what really works. You know, sometimes I just suck on cloves to make me gums numb.
Right, mate.
Mark.
Thanks, mate.
Mark at Bulimba. What happened at the dentist?
I went in to get my wisdom tooth out, and as he's trying to pull it, he's actually snapped it. He sheared it at the gum. All the nerves and everything are exposed. He kept like getting that little, like that little pick they have, and he keeps hitting it. He's like, "Do you feel that?" And I'm just sitting there cringing. I'm like, "Yeah, of course I feel it." So they loaded me up with Novocaine. They actually got like this mini grinder out and cut my gum and then went into the tooth and split it four ways and got like this mini little wrecking bar that he shoved up there, twisted, and it smashed the tooth. So they had to pull the tooth out in pieces and then stitch me back up. But the worst part about it was I was so loaded up on the Novocaine and stuff. When I got home, my landlord called me and for some reason there was something wrong and I just totally abused her and told her what she could do with the apartment, and 30 days later I had to move out and find a new place.
Didn't you go back and say to her, look, I was off my drugs and it was my teeth? Like,
look, there are just some things you can't take back, Robin, when you're high. Yeah. You know? I mean, I was like, whoa.
What about the noise while the tooth coming out in your brain?
Oh, don't.
That's
awful. Yeah. Belinda, stop it. Of the sunny coast, what happened?
I had my four wisdom teeth out under general anaesthetic, and when I woke up, they had severed the nerve in my mouth, and I have no feeling in the bottom lip or the chin, and that was 15 years ago, and it never came back.
What? Is that? Oh. Do you just dribble all the time?
I did initially, but I can control it better now.
My God.
You're a dribbler. We've met a few in our time, Belinda, but you are a genuine dribbler.
Compensation for that, Belinda? That's awful.
No compensation at all. So,
can control your dribbling. You're a controlled dribbler.
Yeah, I'm a controlled dribbler now.
Does your lip kind of flop down or can you hold it in place?
No, it looks normal. I just can't feel. I've got no feeling in my bottom lip or my chin.
Oh, that's awful.
Putting on lipstick could just be like, you know, follow the dots. That'd be awful.
That's it. Can't do it without a mirror.
So. No,
that is unbelievable.
Oh, I'm not terrible. Happy for Belinda.
Michael of Shaler Park.
No, it's
what
not
happened?
Hilarious, mate.
Michael.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Yeah.
What happened?
In 2011, I had a wisdom tooth which was impacted up at Derby, and the anaesthetic didn't take.
Oh no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
And it was in really deep. Hmm. So she had to use a stainless steel screwdriver to get in under it and dig it out.
God, it's not a car tyre. What? So it just dug away while you were feeling it.
Yeah. Needless to say, my pain threshold increased. Okay. And I was off work for 2 days afterwards.
Michael, what were you hanging on to? Can I say this on radio, but when they put the needles in, that was the sorest thing yesterday.
Oh, it is. It hurts.
Held
it
on
hurts.
To the top of my, where Cameron Bancroft put the sandpaper.
Oh. So you grabbed your own genitals.
Why? Yes.
Well, to stop, you know, how... For comfort. The pain, to put the pain somewhere else while they put the needle in. Just held on to that, because your hands in the dental seat are right in that area, and it was just...
What did the dentist think you were doing? This guy's loving the pain. Look at this. Not only is Steve Smith shouldering the blame, I think a lot of Australia is, but my heart goes out to his dad. Pete Smith is in the paper today saying that he can't face listening to the radio, reading the paper or watching the television because his son's all over it, and it's just brought a lot of shame and disappointment to the family. And
that's awful.
He coached Steve personally until he was 16 and a half, and then professional cricket grabbed hold of him, and that was it. So he coached him all the way from he was born all the way till he was 16 and a half, and he went straight into the Sheffield Shield system.
And so, you know, not only was it Steve's dream, it was obviously Pete too, his dad Pete Smith, not Channel 9's Pete Smith.
I was just
Smith.
About to say that is a very well-known Channel 9 name,
Pete Smith speaking. But so I can feel that father's pain, but as we were discussing off the air, isn't it terrible when your parent comes to you and says, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
Disappointed in you.
When have you disappointed your parents? Because even as an adult, when you, and all of our fathers are dead, we're part of the dead dad
society.
Club, but they're still there. They're still there. I will still do a stand up at a sports club for, you know, a reduced fee because my dad would say, what? You're not going to go and entertain those people for a couple of $100. You get in the car and go there straight away. Like, you know, my father's still there and I don't want to disappoint him. So I'm asking you today, when have you disappointed your parents? I remember as a 10-year-old, I got a train fine. I didn't have a ticket on a train. Got booked and I was really petrified. Anyway, the fine comes in the mail some months later and I show it to my dad. My dad says, You've brought our family, he was like playing it up, you brought our family into disrepute. And I said, what? And he goes, we've never been charged with any crime in this family and you're the first one. I went, oh, I'm really sorry. He goes, you make sure it never happens again. I didn't take that advice. But
can I give you one, man?
Yeah,
can
please.
I give you one? It is. It's no use. My dad never got angry, but there's one. When I was 17, I lost my license for DD. All right, stupid.
Yeah,
you know,
17 people later.
He picked me up from the watch house. They were the only words that got said. I slipped into the passenger seat of the Kingswood. He said, I'm really disappointed. We drove the 11 kilometres home and that was the only words that got said.
Oh, do you think I've really never used that? Is that a father-son thing?
No, not just father-son. Use that on men and you, yeah. Yeah, don't get angry with blokes because they'll push back. They'll push back.
Yeah,
you say I'm so disappointed, you it's the shame. We just drop our
heads. Do you know the honest truth of that? Even just thinking about it as you're saying it, I would think they don't care.
Well, no.
Oh, they care. Well, yeah. If your standard modus operandi is going, you know, batshit crazy, then try the quiet.
It'll work.
Really?
I'm really disappointed.
Ask everyone else. You get the feeling that Steve Smith wasn't him. It wasn't the instigator. We all get the feeling that it was DW, don't we? Dave
Warner.
Yes,
we do. And, of course, Steve Smith's going to have to face his dad. And what are those first words going to be? He's going to say, sorry. I'm really sorry, Dad.
Sorry to let you down.
But don't you think that there might be a moment where he goes, mate, you've disappointed the family. But then after that, like the whole world is on Steve Smith's shoulders. Surely his dad will give him a big hug and not be disappointed for long.
He may well give him a hug. You know it's going to be disappointing as Pete Smith, the father of Steve Smith, is going to arrive in Johannesburg and Steve may have already left.
Oh, that would just
be very disappointing.
Very disappointing.
I hope that Pete Smith says, I love your son, and then knees him in the Jets crackers.
To see if there's any sandpaper down there.
Nathan of Burpen, Gary, what do you reckon about this? When have you disappointed your parents?
When I was in high school, I was pretty young and dumb, and I got dared to duck a female. And true enough, I did it, got suspended for it. I've gone home. My folks are military as well, so they were pretty upbeat on the discipline.
Yep.
Get home, and my dad turned to me and goes, I thought I raised a man, not a boy.
Oh.
And that was... And by far the worst thing I've ever seen, like disappointed me in my dad's eyes, it's worse than your mother getting angry at your eyes, hands down.
Yeah.
Pretty funny though, dacking someone.
No, but it was a girl. You can't get dacking girls. Would it have been all right if you dacked a boy, Nathan?
Say fun?
It would have been all right if you dacked a boy.
Oh, I don't know, but even still. But like, made it worse, the girl kept antagonising me, going, I dare you do it again when I got back from suspension.
What? No.
Well, no. Come
you
on.
Didn't
that's
fall for that, did you, Nate?
Fair call, really, though. I mean, she's got to get the upper hand somehow. Madison.
Good use of Sheila.
City.
Don't hear Sheila enough, do you?
When have you disappointed your parents, Madison?
Hey, it's not so much about me. It's me as a parent and sort of relating to what you said, Robin. But I do use the disappointment thing on the really big issues. I have a son and it's more about going... On the big issues, if I say to him, I'm disappointed, that absolutely stops him in his tracks. Like, it really upsets him. Whereas the smaller stuff I can be doing my nut about, and, you know, it sort of washes over. But if I do pull out the I'm disappointed, yeah.
I've never tried it, Madison, honestly, because I've just assumed that they wouldn't care. But based on what everyone's saying this morning, it's something I need to use as a very good tool.
Maddie or Robin, do either of you say you're proud a lot of your boy?
Oh, absolutely.
That's really important to boys, saying you're proud.
I say it all the time.
That's all we want to do is make you proud.
Really?
And the worst thing is the disappointed, because that means you're not proud.
Do you care if we say I love you a lot?
No, couldn't give a stuff. That's their empty words. Pride and disappointment are too far away.
I need to hear I love you.
Yeah,
from you two, not from my wife.
Oh. You're a typical meanie and you always need a pat on the tummy and then you like a dog.
Chucky and Buckin, when did you disappoint your parents?
No, it was my son when he was at preschool. He was about four. And he dropped the F-bomb.
Oh, dear. Where did he get that
from, Chucky?
Proud
or disappointed, Chucky?
Well, he was in the middle of the schoolyard and he, you know, abused some kid because they'd been saying it. And we never swear at home. No. And, I come home and he come home and he had to tell me. He come in and said, I've said a naughty word at school today. Oh. What did you say? He said, I said F and wee-wee. Something like that. I almost burst out laughing. I had to say, oh, no, that's disgusting. Yeah. Oh, I'm so disappointed, you bad boy. Don't use filthy words like that ever again. I had to leave the room before I started laughing because it sounded so funny. Still squeaky voice. Oh, it was a shocker.
And the fact that he used wee wee.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why he said it or what happened. But yeah, the kids were harassed him at school again.
F-bomb with wee-wee is a great put-down. You effing wee-wee.
That's the big breakfast show, people.
Right now, the Australian cricket team are in hell. That's what Al Pacino would say.
That's at Johannesburg the for you.
Of any given Sunday. We are in hell now, my friends. Either we heal here or we die alone. But there's
We should explain to everyone, if they haven't heard the news, that that James Sutherland's over there and, no, not all of the news.
I thought you were going to say, if anyone hasn't heard the news, the ball tampering. I was going to say, what rock under which you have been dwelling?
I know. But the captain, Steve Smith, Dave Warner and Cam Bancroft will be banned. They don't know whether it's 6 months or a year, and that's where it's
at. It was announced overnight. It's just the three of them. They're the scalps.
Yeah, so Glenn Maxwell's flying over. He could be captain in the next year. Imagine he could make 3,000 runs. Anything could happen with the big show. Matty Renshaw from Queensland, he had to cut short his shield celebration to go over, and so with Joey Burns.
But there's an expression, isn't there, no matter how bad things get, people always go, in a year from now, we'll be laughing at
this.
I wonder whether the Australian cricket team will be.
The Australian cricket team dressing room, a year after the Sandpaper Gate scandal.
We're fielding today, guys, so let's be sharp.
Yeah, yep. Remember when we cheated?
cheating. How funny was cheating?
Cheating was hilarious.
What about when Bangers Bancroft said granules in the press conference?
granules.
Oh, shut up. Everyone completely lost it when I stuffed the tape down my pants.
Hey, Bancroft, I've made you a cup. Do you want the sugar in the cup, or should I just shovel it in your pocket?
I remember the look on Smithy's face when he got sacked and lost the captaincy.
And the 2 mil with his IPL contract.
I don't forget his endorsements.
Oh, classic.
All right, boys, let's do it. And no tampering.
Oh, no tampering.
Because of the cheating. That's good.
Oh, when we cheated.
When we cheated so much.
Can we go to Canberra? Some really weird stuff went on there yesterday. The Odd Couple, Pauline Hanson, finally poked her head up. She had a new book to launch.
And I said, would you launch my book? Well, you burst out laughing.
Tony Abbott, the bloke who threw her in jail 20 years ago. Now, there's something really odd. Well, Pauline, what do you reckon? She's used some big world figures, quoted them in the book.
Like Nelson Mandela did. After 28 years in prison, he forgave and he forgot.
He was on Robben Island, 12 kilometres off Cape Town. She was in a fish and chip shop.
There is some delicious irony in Pauline Hanson quoting Nelson Mandela.
I got a theory. I don't know how Tony's relationship is at home. I know there were rumours previously about him and his PA, and they denied all that.
Peter Credlin.
Every chance he and Pauline are maybe...
Oh, you've got to be joking.
Well, listen to this. No. What, Tony?
you are always better the second time around.
What? What's he talking about there?
Ew. Yeah.
Second time.
He's chocker. There's no doubt about it.
It's quite clear to everyone.
I am going to Google whether Pauline's single, though.
Oh, please.
What an unholy union that would be. Just imagine if your headlights flashed onto that in a field. Oh, God. What is that? What is it?
Stop.
Stop it, please. It's the Commonwealth Games, as I said, in 7 days. 13 hours and 14 minutes. Get tuned in. And I was at the Royal Pines on the Gold Coast Friday for a corporate, and I was walking around the pool, and the Canada team, or the Canadian team, are staying there. I noticed they were athletes because of the ripping bodies on the men and women just strutting around the pool.
Have sunnies on.
Buddy, go straight back to your room and cover that horrific gelatinous mess you call a body. And I was walking past this woman. She's lying on a couch and she goes, excuse me. And I said, yes. She goes, can you tell me where the sun will be going? And I said, I beg your pardon. And she goes, the sun, where does it go from here? And I said, well, that's the east. And it normally sets in the west. You do know that, don't you? And it goes in a straight line across the sky. And she goes, because it doesn't where I come from. And I said, where does it go? She says, this time of year, it just skirts the horizon. We hardly see it. And I said, you must be here for the Commonwealth Games, are you? And she said, yes, I am. Turns out to be the Northern Irish. I said, are you competing? She says, no, I'm the javelin coach. And I went, you are taking a piss, aren't you, lady?
Javelin coach?
What did from she Northern look like? Ireland. Was she really big in the shoulders and strong, muscly arms?
I mean, she was a strong-looking woman, really quite beautiful. Her name is Laura Kerr, and she is coaching the women's javelin, but they haven't got a javelin competitor just in javelin for the Commonwealth Games.
Sorry.
It's part of the it's a heptathlete.
Oh my God.
So the
heptathlete has seven coaches.
Well, the heptathlete probably only has one coach because she said that their team isn't, you know, a really lucrative, wealthy team. So
no,
she
I
might
wouldn't
be
imagine
coaching more than... She said, actually, she's the throwing coach. So I'm following Catherine O'Connor. Now, Catherine O'Connor is an 18-year-old from Northern Ireland. She's in the heptathlon. If you don't know what the heptathlon is, it's seven events, 100-metre hurdles, high jump, shot put, 200 metres, long jump, javelin throw, and 800 metres. Grueling event.
Jane Fleming was a heptathlete, wasn't
right.
she? And she did very well for Australia. So
it's tough. You've got to do a bit of training
gold.
In every event.
Yeah. So I'm following Catherine O'Connor from Northern Ireland in the heptathlon, and particularly the javelin throw. Now, I've been reading up because it's like I've met Laura. And
you feel attached.
I'm attached. I'm involved, Marto. Now, I went and onto the Northern Irish... Commonwealth Games site.
Are they part of Great Britain or are they actually called Northern Ireland?
They are part of Great Britain globally, but at the Commonwealth Games, all of the nations that make up Great Britain are competing separately.
Okay.
Wales, Scotland, England and Northern Ireland. So I went onto the site and it's like Laura Kerr was the record holder for the javelin throw for Northern Ireland for 14 years with a throw of 47 metres. The world record is 72 metres.
She's pretty crap.
I don't. Well,
now,
she's
Laura, if
go.
You're listening, and she probably will be, I had to ask her this because, you know, when you meet somebody from a particular profession, there's always an obvious question. You know, you meet a train driver, it's like, have you ever run over anyone? You meet a javelin thrower, it's like, did you ever hit a judge? And she said, no, but he came pretty close.
30 metres away.
So go Northern Ireland and go Catherine O'Connor in the heptathlon.
Big breakfast on Triple M.
Time to talk tech, everything for the man. It's EFTM.com.au. Trevor Long, good morning.
Morning from windy Chicago.
What are you doing in Chicago?
Well, the good people at Apple flew me over here because they pretty much rented out a school, although it's spring break over here, so there was no students around, to put on an event and announce new products and new focus on education.
I don't want to be distasteful, but of all the places in America that I wouldn't go is a school.
Do you know what? As I walked in, I thought I could do with some extra security here. I just would prefer a metal detector or something.
So, Trev, what are they whipping out? What's Apple showing you? Have they got it out yet or not?
Yeah, no. A couple of hours ago, it all wrapped up. Tim Cook on stage, mate. They wheeled out a bunch of teachers from around America who talked about how important, you know, education and iPads are being used in education. They announced a brand new iPad to kind of replace the existing entry-level one, a $469 iPad. No change in price, but a huge change in features. So more power, all the things we normally get ramped up. But I don't know if you've ever seen the Apple Pencil, the kind of stylus that you can use on an iPad. Yeah. That's now available on the entry-level model as well. So kids at school can actually use a pen on the screen and make notes or use apps. So the massive focus on education for Apple at this event and just generally, they obviously would love to see more iPads in classrooms. But my biggest challenge right now as I sit and think about it is I don't know who's paying for them. Like, I'm sure private schools and other schools maybe are able to afford this. My kids go to a public school and I can't imagine how they would ever afford, you know, a classroom full of these things, let alone...
No school, not even private schools don't pay for it. Every parent pays for it.
Parents.
And then as Robin stands on it, has to buy another one.
Well, she does have that issue. $500 or $469 plus, you know, case and things. Still a lot of money. You'd want to hope that you're going to get, you know, 4 or 5 years' work out of it, and hopefully that will happen. But, yeah, it's a big deal for Apple. So they're competing with other big companies in this space, and education's a big focus for them. They're trying to not just get kids to learn how to code, but also be creative, make movies, photos. It's a pretty exciting thing they've announced. Just really hard to articulate in a sense that, you know, we can all understand, because you've really got to have kids at school to get the gist of why this is important.
Hey, Trev, let's talk Facebook, because there's news out today that they are collecting more data. Can you explain that exactly?
So basically, people with an Android phone who installed Facebook Messenger, that's the chat app with Facebook, have opened themselves up to a little bit of an extra bit of data gathering by Facebook, because when you install the app, if you click yes to pretty much everything they ask, which most people do, you also said, you know, when I make phone calls, when I send messages to people, keep a log of that. And so if you download all your information from Facebook, which you can do now, and have a look, you'll actually find a call log. So they've got records of who you called, how long you spoke to them for. Even when you just use the normal phone app to make phone calls, they know that. And that's the information that sits along with your Facebook profile that's scaring the heck out of a lot of people. And I think it's just another reminder, another warning to people that you've got to look at what permissions you give access to these apps, because this is the kind of stuff you're handing over.
Trevor Long at EFTM.com.au, our tech expert. We'll talk to you again soon, Trev.
Cheers, guys.
Plumbers become super plumbers, installing a super quick water dispenser. Superquick.com.au.